You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app.
Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, Paul Fontaine, Jeff Hawkins here on the Dynamite Show, Fight Game Media Network. Thank you all for listening and watching here on YouTube and on X, I believe we are as well. So if you haven't already, please subscribe to the Fight Game Media YouTube channel. And you'll get alerts whenever our show or anybody else's is starting, including my brand new show, which I'll talk about at the end. But Jeff, it was a weird week leading into Dynamite this week. Tony Khan had previously said, I believe, that he was never going to cut anyone. And lo and behold, we got word that, I guess, 10 or 11, I'm not sure if it was 10 or 11 people, got cut earlier this week. Mostly people that weren't being used. People like the boys, Jorah Joel, who people are surprised to know is still around. Anthony Henry, who was out injured, which is kind of sad. Dasha Gonzalez, ring announcer. Can't remember who else. The fact that I can't remember probably tells me that they're not super high.
Oh, Parker Boudreaux.
Yeah.
Oh, Jose the assistant.
Yeah, that was another one who,
my first thought was these are some weird cuts. Not that people were cut, but it's almost like, okay, yeah, 10 or 11 people. And it's very random because, and this isn't like everybody feels, I love Twitter because everybody feels guilty. Oh, we're talking about cuts and people, real people lost their jobs. It's like, well, it's a part of show business and sports, kids.
Yeah.
It's not being disrespectful unless you're rooting for it to happen. And nobody assumes that.
But I haven't seen anybody happy about it, to be fair.
The Anthony Henry one is the one that has riled people, and I think with good reason, because he was injured in a match with Brian Keith.
Yep.
In an AEW ring, I believe, or was it an indie
show? No, it was on an indie show.
Okay.
Yeah. DFP, I want to say.
I think it was the randomness of the cuts that got to me, because like Dasha is still used.
She's on TV B-shows. Every week.
Yeah, as ring announcer. Jose Jose was with a group that was getting a moderate push for a while there.
Yep.
The boys are part of Dalton Castle's act, and he's a major part of Ring of Honor.
Well, no, he's not.
Well, because they did that thing with Morrison, right?
Yeah, they did the thing with Morrison, and then a couple weeks ago, Taya said she lost the boys.
I thought,
they just figured this is just an angle. Well, apparently she lost them.
But the first thing I thought was there are 30 other people that I would cut possibly before some of these people.
Well,
I
mean, not all. Before, maybe along with.
I mean, Dasha serves a purpose on the television show as a ring announcer. Meanwhile, I could cut Alex Marvez, Mark Henry, Paul White, others in that. War.
Tony Nese,
Sterling, I think serves a purpose as a B villain, but he hasn't been around lately.
Nope. That's the thing. Like these are people that you could cut them and you wouldn't even notice they were gone.
And it goes to kind of a larger issue for me with AEW, and I don't know if I'm correct on this, so don't jump down my throat on this thing. But what the Monday Night Wars did to professional wrestling in general. Was it eliminated an entire class of wrestler in terms of the local talent, the young student or whatever, who is in there for the prelim match.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have that next level up, the quote unquote jobber to the stars, JTTS or whatever, that could give you that great television main event and wouldn't win. But he would never, but you could then heat him up at any time by giving him a win on TV and pushing him up to like the lower to upper mid card. And then you have your headliners. But what the Monday Night Wars did was it took all these guys who were in your mid card and it made them lose a lot. And they were characters that you could never really recoup because you were using them week after week to lose, like, say, the Luchadors. Or in the other company, you know, your Bob Hollies a lot of time. I mean, you could heat him up to a point through his just innate toughness and who he was, but nobody ever believed he was going to win a big match ever again.
Yeah.
And I think what AEW's mistake was, they signed all these guys.
Yeah.
And in order to just beat them and beat them and beat them, and then they look around, they go, we have a lot. Oh, Gravity was one that was also.
I think a lot of people didn't even know he was signed. Like,
and a lot of people just assume he was signed because he's Bandito's brother. So it's one of those things where you look at it and you go, we've signed all these guys and we can't ever use them because we're just beating them every week. And yeah, they have some character to them or they have a gimmick to them and they're colorful or whatnot, but they're of no use to me in terms of I can't heat these guys up. All of a sudden, we saw this kind of with the Butcher in a way.
Yeah.
Feud with Dustin for a week, and it's like, okay, what are we gonna do with him? Because nobody believes that he's gonna. I mean, oh, we're gonna have a good match. Great. Well,
and they literally have, and this number might be low, 50 guys like that.
Yeah,
maybe 100. Yeah, like, I mean, you mentioned the Butcher. I mean, there's guys that, you know, I'll bring up their names, and you'd be like, oh yeah, he still works here. You know, like,
yes,
there's so many of them, and yeah, I mean, you need some of those guys, but
and they're
I
not
mean,
working like, house shows. They're not working.
No.
You know.
No, so I mean, the options are you have guys under contract that can fill that role, or every time you go to St. Louis, you bring in six guys from the local indie and have them work matches.
Yes.
And put your own guys over.
Yes, and you don't give them 80%. If you give them something, it's a special night kind of a thing.
And meanwhile, as opposed to these local people a lot of times get way too much. And then everyone raves about them, and then Tony signs them.
Yes.
And then he does
nothing with them.
Brian Keith, he'll do like six matches in a row. They're all great. And then Brian Keith is all elite. Oh, well, bye-bye, Brian.
Okay, see you on Ring of Honor wrestling someone down there for a
Queen
while.
Queen Aminata. I mean, she's doing great in Ring of Honor, but
she's great.
She won that match with Anna Jay. We haven't seen her. She was on every show.
She's wrestling for the TV title in Ring of
Honor.
She
is, yeah.
Which is fine.
She might win, but the fact is, we're not seeing her on TV.
Exactly. We're not seeing any build out of her.
And
we're
not
seeing any
whole storyline to build her up. She gets her big win.
Yes.
We haven't seen her since. We've seen Anna Jay, who she beat. We've seen her a couple times. But, you know, and it's funny because Thunder Rosa talks about TV time all the time. And meanwhile, it's like
best way is. And it, you know, there's a lot of larger issues within this as well that I was saying about because I'm talking on my Discord for my other show about champions and stuff like that. And I literally asked this question. I go, when Tony belts a guy, do you think he has a plan for them? Or does it just, hey, what do you want to be as champion right now? What do you want to do? I'm going to put you in this match with this guy. Won't that be cool? As opposed to, this is the kind of champion you're going to be.
I think sometimes he does, but most of the time he doesn't.
Most of the time he doesn't. And this kind of goes a bit to the Punk thing where it's like, he's being friendly with all the guys. And it was kind of like the poison pill of Jim Crockett. Being friendly with all the guys, but at the same time, he also doesn't want to be the bad guy. I had heard that people were cut or found out they were cut through social media. I don't know if that's true or not. I hope that's not true.
I hope that's wrong. I mean, you think about it. Look at Roderick Strong. They spent 2 months building up this match with Orange Cassidy. They did the best they could. You know, it's Roderick Strong, and he's got a geek stable with him. But they built up this match. He beats Orange Cassidy decisively at the pay-per-view, and nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that title, I mean, I think he's defended it once. Actually, no, the match he had wasn't even a title match. Orange was on TV every week defending. We knew what Orange was. Orange was a fighting champion who was going to defend every week. Roderick Strong's guy with a belt.
Yes.
And I think Adam Copeland, they probably had an idea for him. Hey, Adam, we're going to give you this title. You're going to do your Cope Open, and it's going to lead to this. You know, somewhere down the road.
Okay, but yeah.
What's I believe the plan there's with the a destination.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Oh, yes. And I'm sure that they have that in their mind already.
I don't
because
know.
It's him.
I may push back a little bit against you. I don't think they may have a plan for this. Well, I think they just know how big the John Cena Open Challenge was.
Nah,
and one time they brought up a guy.
This is more Cody than it is.
Yes, John it Cena. Is.
Yeah,
but even with Cody, it was like we bring these guys in and we're using that to scout them to see if we want to sign them.
Right to the down, I think the end result of this is Jack Perry coming in and winning the title from him.
Okay, I'm cool with that.
Open challenge, you know, but yeah, I mean, it's Joe. I mean, they gave him the title, and I don't think they had a destination.
No, I think it was
probably be, Swerve.
It was yeah. Swerve, but at the same time, it's like, did anybody think, oh yeah, we just put him in a triple threat with the guy and then just went right back to him?
Well, no, I mean, I think when he won the title from MJF, I think the idea was probably that Swerve was going to beat him on the next pay-per-view.
Yes.
But Joe was doing so well and Swerve cooled off a bit.
And they decided to be clever. And I love Joe as champion, but for me, the Swerve program isn't working. I know.
Tonight was better.
It was better.
They got to what got Swerve over in the first place. But by the same token, if you really think about it, he looked like an idiot.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that later. You know, and then you got the women's champion, like Toni Storm wins this title. There's zero direction for her.
Yeah, we're just
other
doing
than
the
Mariah
cartoon
May
thing.
Is yeah. way down the road, and it's just been punted even further now. Mm-hmm. You know, and then Julia Hart, like, no, there's nothing. No direction for her.
No.
Like, I mean, yeah, you're right. The tag team titles probably there is because the Bucks are probably going to win them.
Well, okay. And, let's do something on a promo segment. What was the point of Mercedes coming out there? Even though
from
the area,
we'll talk about that. That is the single dumbest thing they've done in a long
time. I am now. I mean, look, I was as high as anybody on signing her, and yeah. I'm just like, what?
Yeah. Well,
I feel bad. Yeah. Did you watch Collision this weekend?
Yes, I did.
Man, I feel bad for Ricky Starks.
Yeah. There's another one. You know, like Starks and Bill, like they lost the title and they dropped off the face of the earth.
Yes.
They come back and they have one match and now Starks is injured.
They made them super strong against FTR and that was great. And then they never really followed up on that because they wanted to get to Sting and Darby.
Yeah. And they easily could have had like FTR, like they could have had them come out and do something at the end of that match.
Yeah.
On the Monday after, we've not even heard a promo about, you know, them mad at being lost the titles or anything. Like they just dropped off the face of the planet.
Yeah, there's the lack of planning versus versus Matt. They're doing fine matchmaking, but they're not getting those building blocks. And this is what I formally referred to as he can't cook. But I'm not going to get there because it's more of he won't cook at times. He will tell the carrots to chop themselves. And how do you want? Do you want to be Julienne or do you want to be Dice today?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you make the decision. I'll put you in the soup eventually and we'll see how it goes.
We'll just throw you in the water and eventually you'll.
Eventually you'll turn into broth somehow.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. And it's frustrating to me because, look, Punk and Cody are doing media and they're dancing around this AEW thing. And I don't know. Somebody's gotten to in that company, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that led into the opening promo.
Exactly.
And I did want to talk about this, but I, you know, and I'm kind of glad you brought that up. Yeah, Tony wants to be their friend, clearly. All Friends Wrestling. So CM Punk goes on Ariel Helwani's show, and he just blasted his former employers. And Ariel Helwani just sat there with a smile on his face and let him do it.
Well,
And then Cody was on later, I believe, and kind of, you know,
Cody is the greatest politician to be in wrestling.
Yeah, he fought back on that. He said, no, it's a great place to work. Those guys are all awesome and blah, blah, blah. So
he kind of went after the fans of AEW, I think.
So we get on, we open this show, which all we had promoted for this show, we had a Will Ospreay Powerhouse Hobbs match that was announced at some point during the week. It wasn't announced last week, I don't believe. We got Bryan Danielson and Lance Archer, which was announced this afternoon. We had Jay White and Billy Gunn, which was announced last week. We had the Mariah May Thunder Rosa match, which was announced last week. But I mean, this show did not look great on paper, in my opinion. And we start the show off with Adam Copeland. And I'm like, oh, maybe they're going to do a Cope open.
That's what I was thinking, too, especially after the hot reaction to the Matt Cardona match.
Yeah, and also because I'd heard a rumor about somebody that might be doing a Cope open. So, yeah, and, you know, it didn't happen. So we'll see. Maybe it'll happen down the road. But instead, he does this promo, and it was a rah-rah AEW promo.
It was.
Basically, so he says, he says, I'm out here as Adam, not as your TNT champion.
Hated that line.
He is Adam.
You are Adam. I mean,
that's his character. And he had the belt. So he says, and his mic was acting up on him. And then he says, we've been getting a lot of negative BS spewed this
All right. Hold on. The second time the mic did that.
You thought it was an angle.
I thought it was an angle. I thought somebody was going to cut him off eventually and come out and was part
negative
of that
feedback he was but talking about.
Instead, it's the sound check wasn't done properly or whatever. And the audio issues that have plagued AEW now for 6 years are here again. And you're just like
this company.
But it plays into the irony of it being a, you know what? We're just as good as WWE. We're the ones making wrestling better. Oh. We have audio issues.
I have a different take on that. They're not saying they're better than WWE.
No, they're not. They want to be friendly different with them. Yes, they're different.
Yeah. So he's out there. And if you didn't know about the CM Punk thing, you have no idea what the hell this guy's talking about. Talking about all this, like, this negative BS. I'm like, okay, I watch all the shows. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly.
I put it on Twitter and someone, and then Mike Gilbert actually, you know, he said, oh, they should have replayed the Punk interview from Helwani to fill people in. That was good. But he says,
well,
they just
hire a video guy and he apparently does really good work.
From Twitter. He loves pro wrestling. He mentions a bunch of companies he watched growing up that nobody's ever heard of, you know, from Canada. He says, this business was torn away from me for 9 years, and I worked my ass off to get it back. Let's make no mistake about it. I'm closer to the end of my career than the start, but I realized I needed to end my career here in AEW. I saw a murderer's row of talent. I'll put that locker room up against anyone. I came here because I can face Will Ospreay, Kenny Omega, Hangman, Swerve, Joe, Claudio, Moxley, Darby, FTR, Young Bucks, Buddy Matthews, Brody King, and Malakai Black. He says, all of these are first time ever matches, and that only happens in AEW. He said, I got friends in this industry. I'm having a blast. This isn't a hyperbole. I'm not knocking anywhere else. I've had fun everywhere in my career, but this is the most fun I've had in my 32-year career. Now stop for a second. I'm watching this promo, and I'm agreeing with almost everything he says, but it was rubbing me the wrong way.
Yes.
Like, I didn't know why.
I'm with you there.
It finally hit me why.
Okay, I'll hear yours, and then I'll tell you mine.
Okay. He came to AEW. He's told us before, because he wanted to end his career tagging up with his best friend.
Right.
Instead, his best friend's an asshole, and he's been embroiled in a blood feud with his best friend ever since he got here. Now he's telling us that he's having the time of his life, and this has been so much fun. So this whole feud that we've watched for the last 4 months wasn't two best friends battling each other out to the death. It was two guys in their 50s having a great time. This is what he's telling us. So.
Okay, I'll tell you what was bugging me about it.
Okay.
And you may feel a little bit differently, and that's cool. To me, this felt like, yes, go out there and hype up our company and hype up who we are, because this is WWE's biggest week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a pot shot, but when Dwayne says wrestling is cool again, hey, we're wrestling. We're part of that. Oh, Cody used to be with us, you know, and Edge used to be with them, and we're cool too. It was it felt very, we're part of what Rock's talking about right now. We are cool. Everybody should like us too, because we're cool. And I just went, oh, this feels needy to me. It felt a little needy.
So he said, I celebrate AEW. I celebrate the men who started AEW. The Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Cody, Tony Khan. He looks in the camera as he said this. Yeah, him. These guys are all fans of this, just like me and all of you. And that ain't negative or something to make fun of you. AEW has pushed this industry into a better place. It's given more people to do what they love for a living, and that should be celebrated, except for the 11 people we just cut. Yeah, AEW makes pro wrestling better. AEW makes pro wrestling more fun. AEW is where the best wrestle. We heard that line 15 times on Collision.
Yeah.
They eased up on it a bit tonight, but yeah, I was ready to blow my head off.
They're sports entertainment, we're wrestling.
This is where the big boys play.
I will give them this credit. And this is a both sides thing. Cody said to him very nice things about AEW.
Yeah, he did.
In terms of that. And then they reciprocated, AEW did, with a shout out on that promo. And then the when the Bucks came out for their match, they go, "Hey, scapegoat, love your work." Being serious.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
Okay, when was that?
That was right as the Bucks got intro'd, and they were kind of saying something to the camera and it wasn't mic'd.
Well, there he goes. He's coming back.
No,
so he said there's a reason everyone came here, and then he said, "Let me introduce you to a man who symbolizes everything that AEW will be going forward," and he brings in Will Ospreay,
which is weird,
yeah,
because he's still a member of the Callis family.
He's a member of the Callis family. Also, Will Ospreay said one of his main goals. That's what Edge called him.
I know.
I'm sorry. Okay. He said one of his goals when he got here, he wants to win world titles. He wants to have bangers, and he wants to retire Billy Gunn. Those were his three goals. So I imagine probably retiring Edge is probably like right underneath Billy Gunn would be my guess. But no.
I'd let him retire Billy Gunn, please.
Oh, we'll get to Billy Gunn. That was that opening promo. Like I said, I agreed with everything they said. It just came off needy, like you said. And I'm glad you brought up The Rock, because you know, it's funny because The Rock kind of did the same thing, but it didn't come off as lame. Like, he just said wrestling is cool again and then left it. Like, and then he just went into his angle.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think Moxley could have delivered this better. I think maybe Darby, Eddie Kingston, maybe. But having Edge come out there, who just came from WWE, like,
yes,
I don't know. You know, Bryan Danielson,
a guy who's not fully.
Hell, Will Ospreay could have done this.
Yes, actually, that would have been my choice.
Yeah. And he was going to do the first match anyways. And you see, everyone asked me why I had offers from all the big companies and I came here.
The Copeland part reeks of, we need a guy that was a star somewhere else to say that we were cool too.
Yeah, I didn't even pick up on that, but yeah, you're not wrong. And even the last angle came off, you know, kind of like they were trying to do Cody and
a little bit, Rock, a little bit,
but didn't quite get there. All right. So the opening match, Will Ospreay and Powerhouse Hobbs, two members of the Don Callis family. No reason for this match other than Will Ospreay's been going through the members of the Callis family for some reason. The idea is Callis is doing this as fan service. I mean, this is what he said. It took the fans about a minute to chant, "Let's go, Will." So if you had that as a prop bet, you win. The crowd wasn't terribly into it at first, but they eventually got into it because they're both pretty good at what they do. And if you close your eyes and picture a Will Ospreay Powerhouse Hobbs match, it's what you got. You know, Powerhouse Hobbs worked him over. Will Ospreay would do moves every once in a while. This worked to his strengths as opposed to the Shibata match, which was totally a Shibata match. This was more Will getting to do what he does. Although I will say that I think of the three TV matches he's had so far, this was probably my least favorite. And I think Ospreay's settling in and maybe he's getting some advice to, you know, tone it down a bit because it's TV and save the good stuff for pay-per-view. That's my guess. I don't know.
As he lands on Will Hobbs's head.
Yeah, he did that. he did at one point, he did the Os cutter, and then Will kicked Will. I wrote down Will so many times in this write-up. I'm trying to figure out who I'm saying. Powerhouse kicked out, and then Ospreay did it, you know, the surprise WWE face. Callis said it's the Don Callis family commitment to the fans. At one point, Callis says Will is ahead on points, and then Tat says which one, And then he says, oh, I see what you did there, and joking. And that eventually got the fans chanting, this is awesome. Callis called this the next evolution of pro wrestling, the Don Callis family against each other. Okay. Like the last two times. So Powerhouse Hobbs hits a power slam for two. He lowered his straps. He went for a power slam, but Ospreay countered into a DDT. Went to the top, hit a sky twister press. That's where he landed on his face. And then he hits him with the hidden blade, and that was that. And yeah, it was a excellent match. On the Will Ospreay scale, it was okay. But on the scale of 98% of the people in the world, it's like the best match they could possibly have.
The match was fine. Yeah. I liked it. But TV Jeff's going to come in here and go, why are we watching this match right now?
Well, don't know.
Because I want the story. I want the logic. I want to know why Don Callis is putting his people against Will Ospreay. And I thought there was a nice opportunity when Will Hobbs starts destroying him for Callis to realize he's an idiot and yeah. say no, because he teased it. It's like, you're killing the golden goose. Yes.
And every time either one of them was on offense, like, he didn't really show any favoritism to either
guy. He didn't show any favoritism. He wasn't, I mean, he would have been much better off commentary and just watching, you know, with like a pensive look or something to that effect. I want the reasoning. I want him to say, if he goes through all these people, then he is the alpha of my family or something to that effect. I want this to make sense. And they have had opportunities to make this make sense, to tell stories within the Callis family hierarchy of, you know, after beating the first guy, then going to Kyle Fletcher and go, hey, you know, that kind of thing. And having a couple people kind of grumbling within the Callis family or something to that effect. And, oh, Callis is playing favorites here or something to make this mean something on TV other than he's having a good match. And my God, thank God Ospreay is basically begging for forgiveness on that pin to Hobbs for landing on his head and making sure he's okay.
Hobbs was upset after the match. They did
that was the one thing that made that blown spot work was the fact that he shoved him after the match. I go, of course he's angry after
that. Yeah, it's a little bit of like shooting there. Yeah,
I and that made sense to me. But at the same time, I'm watching this and going, I've been waiting now 3 weeks for the story of the Callis family and what we're doing here.
Is it possible they don't know?
I think it's obvious they don't know.
Okay. Because the funny thing is
I've told better stories on this show about what could be happening within the Callis family than I think the thought they've put into it. I think eventually, like next week or no, the week after Swerve beats Joe, it'll be, oh, now Will's going to turn on Don Callis, or Don Callis is going to put Will up there and say, here's my champion. And then eventually Will Ospreay will turn on Don, and then he'll be the babyface champion we all want or whatever.
I think it's going to go longer than that. I think that at Double or Nothing, we're going to get the BCC against the Don Callis family, and the Don Callis family is going to lose, and then they're going to blame Will Ospreay.
Okay. I'm fine with that, I guess.
Yeah. So I think we got probably, a little less than 2 months left of this. That's just my prediction. I don't have any inside info or anything like that.
Although that would be the time then for Will to go through all the members of the Don Callis family.
Yes, but instead he'll go through all the members of the BCC.
Probably. Yes, which will make sense.
Yeah, no. But so we got Ospreay leaving and Danielson entering at the same time. So they've done this before with Danielson. And Excalibur points out that he wasn't scheduled to come out until after the commercial. So, like, who played his music then? But he did. Tony Khan's a madman. He just wanted to stir up shit. So Bryan Danielson comes out there. They kind of just have a little smiley face at each other and nothing happens. And then Danielson goes to the ring and he stands there for 5 minutes while they do the commercials. Now the other weird thing about this is Ospreay is, I mean, he's aligned with heels, but he's clearly, the fans are cheering him. So everyone says he's a babyface. But then you've got Danielson on the other side who at times acts like a heel. He just came off of that feud with Eddie Kingston where he was definitely a heel, but now he's clearly a babyface. Teamed with Shibata. He's working the crowd. You know, he's doing the yes kicks, everything like that. He's facing Archer. You know, like, he's clearly a babyface. So this match, I guess, is babyface, which, I mean, it's fine. That can work. And it's a dream match. It's you know, like, that's the whole thing. Like, the only reason we have to care about this match is because it's an AEW pay-per-view and it's a dream match and it's going to be a 6-star match. Like, that's it. Like, and yeah, you don't need anything else. Like, honestly, in this market, for the AEW people that buy pay-per-views, like, really, you don't need anything else.
Look, like, if you want to settle for just the AEW audience and be secondary, great. They can do the story of they just want to be, see which one of them is the best.
Yeah, that's it. That's the story.
But Bryan Danielson has been losing every single big match yep. he's been in. And so we know who the best too. Is.
And he's going to lose this one, too.
And then, see, that's the thing that's driving.
Yeah,
a lot of these little things are driving. Where's Jake Roberts tonight? He just re-upped his contract. Why is he not there when his guy is actually on Dynamite?
There's your answer. He just re-upped his contract, dude. He's sitting at home spending his money.
Get paid.
Save big this summer with great deals. All in the Kroger app. Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor super drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, speaking of Archer, he comes out. He attacked Danielson before the bell.
We just signed you. Stay home this week.
Yeah. The ref doesn't even check to make sure they're okay. He just rings the bell. Like, normally they like will separate them and they'll, are you okay? Are you okay? And no, this time he's just going to wrestle because he's probably afraid that Archer was going to beat him up. So, Archer basically beat the crap out of Danielson for most of the match. And then eventually Danielson comes back and, you know, worked over his leg. He was working over his leg through a lot of the match. At one point in the match, Taz pointed out that there's a 10-inch weight advantage and a 10-inch height advantage and a 76-pound weight advantage. And then he says he made those numbers up. So, okay.
I'm glad you brought up Taz, because this was the match where my joke was Anthony Henry with a wired jaw would be better on commentary than Taz in this match.
Oh, that's mean. To Anthony Henry.
No, I like Anthony, but my point is a yeah, silent guy would be better than
yeah.
Taz on this match because
he's
brutal. He needs to be serious in this match because we're talking about our main event for the pay-per-view. And instead he popped himself and he couldn't stop popping himself.
And he sidetracks Excalibur.
Yes.
And Shivani. You know, so I mean, Shivani's just there as a fan. Like, he's just, yay, that was a great move, you know. But every once in a while. Oh, yeah, because at one point they come to ringside and Archer grabs a ring guy. And Taz, of course, has to identify him as Jim. Jim's a nice guy. I don't know why he's doing that to Jim. And then he body slams Archer onto Danielson. And that was another one. And he did the Taker walk and Danielson crotched him. Yambag City, you know, from Taz. And eventually, he was going for the blackout, Archer, that is. And Danielson kept reversing it with different submissions. Then he got a rear naked choke. It looked like he was going to put Archer out, but Archer flipped him off his back. And then Danielson missed a charge, but then he hit a Busaku knee, went for another one. Archer intercepted it, and then Danielson hit him with 3 roundhouse kicks, and then he hit the Busaku knee, and he got the win. So it's very similar to the Ospreay match in a way. Like, I mean, it was a big guy wrestling Ospreay, doing Ospreay things, and then it was a big guy wrestling Danielson, doing Danielson things. Like, you know.
Yeah,
there were similarities, but they were very different matches. But
no, but they wanted both guys to fight giants.
Yeah, and that was, and then the next match was the same thing too, but completely different. But yeah, it was fine. It was good. It was really good, actually.
Yeah, no, I like Lance Archer a lot. I just think he needs to. That's a dude that needs a stable. Well, he really. I mean, he has the Righteous. And he has Jake, but Jake's no longer cutting decent promos or anything like that. I mean, he needs to be the heater for a stable of some kind.
He's also 47.
Like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know how much you want to invest in him. Like,
no, I'm not saying he needs a main event.
Kane. I mean, you know, like,
he doesn't need to have a main event push.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, the dude can cut a promo. The dude has a violent aura about him. If you ever saw his New Japan work, I mean, he scared the crap out of people with that water bottle stuff.
That's a guy you could give like the TNT title or the international title to and have him, you know, beat a bunch of guys to put over someone on the come up. You know, like eventually.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things where I mean, 47. Yeah, it was like when he was first signed. It's like, yeah, we can do something with him, and now it's just like, okay, we can't. He'll be there to be a big guy we can beat occasionally, and we'll give him like a squash match on Rampage before the Wednesday, and hope that people watched it.
Yeah, well, and this is the other thing was, you know, I saw somebody point out in the Discord that this match feels like it came out of nowhere. And then someone else says, oh, no, like these groups have been feuding for like, you know, a couple of weeks, if not like a month. But the thing is, they're all happening on Collision and nobody watches Collision.
Yeah. So,
you know, like if you're only watching Dynamite, you're like, why the hell is Danielson wrestling?
I mean, they told their own story that they started at the same time and that they were in Texas. And yeah, you know, like, okay, cool.
And this was the first time they've ever wrestled, you know, and they've even been in the same companies, but never at the same time.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was weird that they've never crossed paths, but I guess, yeah. So it's, yeah, that was, you know, it was a good match. And, you know, I'd say Archer's a good guy to have on the roster. I got no issues with him. So they introduced and they put up a graphic on the screen that after the break, we're going to see Jericho calling out Hook, which feels like a repeat from every week for the last month.
Uh-huh.
And the fans booed it. And I don't know if they're booing Jericho or they're just sick and tired of this same angle every
week. They're sick and tired of Jericho is what they are.
Well, that's probably it. But for me, it was more, I'm sick of Jericho too. But for me, it was more like, I'm sick of this angle.
Yeah, like, this angle seems to be going nowhere.
Well, and it's just every week the same thing. Mm-hmm. So he comes out. Renee's on the ramp. She brings him out. She introduces him as Lionheart Chris Jericho. And the fans booed. And Jericho's acknowledging the boos, but like pretending like they're cheers. It's really weird. She asks him where he's at with Hook, and he says, last week I offered to be his mentor, and even though he agreed, he said something that's been sitting in my head all week, so I want to call him out, so hit the Hook signal. And out comes Hook, and Jericho's, let's hear it for Hook, and no reaction. And he said, last week you said, I know who you are. And he said, I know what you mean. Everyone I've ever aligned with, I push them all away, just like the song says. But when you play the game at the highest level, the rules are different. And once you understand that, Hook, you'll understand what I'm trying to teach you. I'm not asking you to trust me. I'm asking you to believe in me as much as I believe in you. And the crowd boos that. And Hook says, yeah, Chris, I believe in you so much that I got us a match on Collision right here in Worcester, Massachusetts. And fans pop because they heard the name of their town. But Chris, I'll be keeping my eye on you. And Jericho says, I wouldn't expect anything less. And they bump fists.
And he says, bet. So the Steve Buscemi gif.
Oh.
How do you do, fellow kids?
Okay.
Because Hook's been using that a lot.
Is that what that is?
Yes.
Okay. Huh. So, yeah, we're just rinse and repeat.
We're waiting for the turn. Just make the turn. Just make the turn.
And the fact is, it's probably not even going to happen.
Probably not. They'll probably extend it.
But, and then, so they promote this as, and I think it's Calvary even said, on Collision, Jericho Hook will be in action. And then we found out who in action is, because the very next segment was a Shane Taylor Productions backstage promo. Shane Taylor mentions we're in Massachusetts, the home of Rocky Marciano. And was it Marvin Hagler that he brought up? Okay. I thought that was Detroit, but no, that's Hearns, right? Motor City Hitman, whatever. Yeah. Anyways, this Saturday on Collision, all we got to do is knock down the Ocho and Hook. Yeah. Good luck with that. On Collision, Lion Hook is going to get their ass beat by STP.
Main event in no arena anywhere.
No. And if they had any brains, STP would win this and Hook would split up. But we know that's not going to happen.
No,
they're going to win. And then we're going to get a segment next week on Dynamite where Chris Jericho calls out Hook.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. And probably offers to be his mentor because we won a match last week. So we get Jay White's entrance. And during the entrance, Billy Gunn attacked him and broke up the entrance, which kind of sucks because people love Jay White's entrance. But whatever. Did you watch Rampage?
No.
Did you see?
I saw the home invasion.
Oh, was that the lamest home invasion you've ever seen?
I thought it was supposed to be lame.
Okay.
And apparently it wasn't supposed to be lame.
No, it's supposed to be serious.
I'm wondering if they're throwing away protein powder. They don't anything. I thought it was ironic.
They go into the living room. They got I would say big screen, but it's smaller than the one in my house. And Dynamite's airing on this thing. And it just so happens to be the match where Billy Gunn is with Jay White, like on the TV at the exact time that they're there. And of course, they're not home. So Billy Gunn left his house with Dynamite on, and they just happen to walk in while the Billy Gunn match is playing.
Yes, okay. Threw away a man's protein powder.
Yes, they did. Then Billy Gunn comes in and he chases these geeks away, and that's it. That's it. Like, that's it. he was going to break the TV with a bat, but before that happened, you know, the Billy Gunn thwarted it by himself while Mama Gunn looked on, curious. Gunn did have one good line, one of the Gunn brothers. It's not illegal because it's family.
Yes.
That was good.
If you're related. I think it was.
It's not illegal if you're related. Which somebody tell Dominic Mysterio that he did a hard time.
All day.
Yeah.
Sheriff Dan Barry put him in jail.
Yeah. So that was the reason for this match. And so this freaking match.
This match.
So Billy Gunn beat the crap out of him for an hour. And then they went to commercial. People in the Discord were saying, oh, I thought this was the commercial, like that they were just killing time. No, they went to commercial. They come back. I think Jay White lightly shoved Billy Gunn into the turnbuckle and he rolled him into the ring and he went for a Blade Runner. And I thought, oh my God, like they did this whole beat down and then Jay White's going to hit a Blade Runner. That's going to be it. Nope. Billy reverses the Blade Runner. And then he hits his one and only, no reaction. They're both down. They get up. Billy hits the Famouser, but he doesn't cover. Fans are chanting daddy ass, does the crop chop, hits another Famouser. Fans are chanting one more time, but instead he goes outside and grabs a chair. And the guns ran in and to protect Jay. Billy tossed one of his kids aside. That didn't distract the ref. Jay White low blows Billy Gunn, and it's a DQ. Jay White looked like the biggest geek in the world. Billy Gunn looked like a monster that's probably going for the world title, I guess, except he sucks. This was the worst match I've seen all year. I think it might have been worse than any match I saw last year. Maybe Miz and Shane McMahon, if that was last year, might have been worse. This was really bad, and I don't know what they're thinking.
You remember... I think it was probably a few months ago, maybe six, where we were breaking down segments of this show, and it turned out that every segment had a WWE guy in it.
Oh, yeah.
And we were wondering what was going on. Well, other than Will Ospreay, Adam Copeland, Bryan Danielson, Chris Jericho, Billy Gunn.
Yeah. And Will Ospreay was introduced by Copeland. So.
By Copeland to give him the rub. Tony Storm, she kind of counts here too. Yeah. And so does Joe in a way. So,
in a way? He's talking about championship opportunities.
Yes, that's true. Okay.
Yeah.
And so then we have
best friends and the Jacksons.
And it's tone deaf to the AEW fan base who, to my knowledge, because we don't need video packages, knows of Jay White's work as IWGP champion in New Japan, et cetera, et cetera. And they say on commentary, Billy Gunn, who is 60 years old, is that Jay White is, quote, being drubbed by him. Mm-hmm. You are exactly right. This was for nobody because the casuals are watching this going, yeah, Billy Gunn should beat that twerp's ass. And the people who know wrestling, who are apparently the AEW faithful and fan base, are going, why isn't Jay White one of the great wrestlers in the world who's going to be a huge star in AEW because he has so much charisma and can cut a promo, et cetera, et cetera. How come he's not going through Billy Gunn, 60 years old, three moves from WWE, like a hot knife through butter? This served nobody. Nope. This was a dumb idea, unless we were going to do an injury angle on Billy Gunn, which we didn't.
And should I mention that Tony Khan tweeted out before the show that TBS has approved a lengthy overrun for this show? Was that so we could get Billy Gunn in there for 15 minutes beating up Jay White? Like,
no, it was so we could say there was an overrun. I just because
they could have cut 10 minutes off this match. Like, I don't know how long the match is. I said an hour, and obviously that was a joke, but I gotta look up and see how long this match was, because it had to be 15 minutes.
Thank God Tony was tweeting that we got an overrun instead of telling us we were gonna have an overrun before the match. But you know, it's still one of those things where we use the overrun far too often because of the whole ratings thing.
You bastards, there's time for every match on the show except for this one. You cage match bastards.
Maybe because everybody went to get a snack during this match.
Maybe they're still going.
Might be.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe this match. I'm watching this going, who is this for in terms of people who watch AEW?
So the only defense of this I've seen is, well, it wasn't great, but I know Jay White's going to get his win back at the pay-per-view. I'm like, I don't want to see these guys on the pay-per-view. Like, no. I mean, they're probably going to do a
unification. You know, a lot of people are watching more wrestling during WrestleMania week. Maybe we'll get some new fans by having Billy Gunn be strong against this guy they don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. This was bad. This is really, really bad.
I'm sitting there literally just with my jaw open going, what?
So that wasn't it, by the way. So they do a 3-on-1 attack after the match, but the Acclaim made the save, and they quickly got the advantage. They were about to suplex Jay onto a table, but the Guns made the save. The crowd didn't like this at all.
No.
And like the Acclaimed are, I don't know what's going on with them. They're kind of almost acting like heels at times, and I feel like they're probably going to turn on Billy, but I don't know. This was bad, 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 bad. That's it.
I have nothing else to say about
that. All right. Earlier today, an economy car arrived, and it was the Jacksons. I think it was an Uber. And then Sue and the best friends arrived in another Uber. So
I need to laugh at. Did you watch the Punk interview?
No.
Okay. Apparently, one of the main things that angered Punk and got under his grill, and he called out because Tony Schiavone came to him to deal with Jungle Boy.
Right. Yeah.
And this idea to use the car. But apparently Jungle Boy's thinking, nobody smartened him up to how they did things in the Attitude Era, was that we'll just rent a car and we'll bust up the windshield and then we'll return the rental car. And Punk's side of the story, and don't get me wrong, Punk is the answer to all problems if anybody would just come talk to him, which angered me in so many ways. But he's like, no, you idiot, we're not going to do that because then these rental companies won't rent to us anymore, you dummy. And I go, that's the jerk with the point right there.
And it's sad because you have to acknowledge it. Wow, that's... I almost want to go back, but I just don't want to give that.
Because it was the implication. It's like, what are you going to do? I'm going to take a pipe to this windshield.
Yeah.
On a rental car? Did you?
Yeah. Just buy a beater and then
do it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, they're both, I don't know. There's probably some joke I didn't get about why they're both in freaking, Ubers. But that was just for the match that's going to happen later on tonight. They announced that Julia and Willow are going to be wrestling for the TBS title on Dynasty. And then we get Remarkable Renee on the stage, and she wanted to bring out a little ray of sunshine, Willow. Now, this segment was both the best thing on the show and the worst thing on the show.
I agree.
Willow.
Although I don't know why.
Last week, you won a four-way for a shot at Julia. How's it feel? She says, I'm feeling mother fluffing great. And the crowd is eating everything she says up.
Yeah.
And she's with Statlander and Stoke, and they're just sitting there silently beside her. She says, I want to know how Worcester, Massachusetts is. And they all cheer. And hello, everyone at home. I hope you're feeling as great as they all sound. I really, really love this city. For years and years, I busted my butt in this town. I packed myself up and I drove up and down the parkway. A lot of times this girl was beside me. We'd wrestle at the White Eagle. And the fans went nuts. I have no idea what the hell she's talking about, but they clearly did. And obviously it sounds special to you. It's special to a lot of us. We've had great nights there. This is a home away from home. This is where I learned who Willow Nightingale is. Every time I question if a girl like me belongs in pro wrestling, every time I wonder, and she stops and the crowd's going nuts. And she said, this is it. Every time I wonder if a weird, quirky, unconventional, chubby, curly-haired freak like me could make it, your cheers reassured me. This applause is what helped water me and made me blossom into the woman that stands in front of you today. This woman who challenges Julia Hart for the TBS Championship at Dynasty, I'm so confident from your love and support, I'm going to be the smiling face of TBS. Somebody should have cut the segment right there.
And they should have taken out the mother fluffing. That took me out for a bit, and then I got back into it.
It's her.
It's and her. Then, I get it. It was just dumb to me.
But, I mean, if they would have ended the segment there,
yes,
that would have been so perfect.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to say before I explain why this was the worst segment?
No, because I'm ready to rail on why this segment was bad.
No. Then. What happens is... First of all, we got Stokely.
We got Stokely, which was fine.
I'm going to say something special about this young lady. Last week, she had, as the kids say, a banger, and she knocked it out of the park. She's something special. She impresses me, and she impresses the world. Think about it. And then before he can get any further, CEO, CEO. And the fans turned and started chanting CEO, and they don't care about Willow anymore. And Mercedes comes out and she says, Worcester, please say hello to your CEO. Now, Willow, I can't wait to watch you tear it up with Juliet Dynasty. CEO, CEO. Because whoever's going to be the TBS champion at Double or Nothing, I got next. Because in Vegas, money changes everything. And that's it. She cut her WWE scripted promo and killed the segment. Dead.
This was an example of you needing to yes and her, and she needed to come out there and goes, you are special. Go out there and get the title and I'll be waiting for you.
How about instead CEO or nothing.
I'm here for nothing. But if you're going to take her out there to get, because this is another move of being gotten to or afraid or whatever, because we need the WWE person to go out there and give her the rub, but she's going to be in character at the time.
You know what? Call an audible. You hear this reaction for Willow. Have a sense of what's happening.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, she's out there and she's got the crowd in the palm of her hands. They loving her. This match with Mercedes isn't for another 8 weeks. I think 7 weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
They've got a match in between.
You don't need her here. Although she's from the area. So it's one. Or no.
You could have had her come out, and Mercedes is going to speak next week.
Yes.
You know, and she could have put her on Collision and then say, you know what, Julia and Willow have a match coming up this week. I've talked to Tony Khan. I've got the winner of Julia Hart and Willow. You do that in a completely separate segment. You don't need to show Willow's heat.
Or at the very, very least, you drop the CEO character, which was what I was thinking. This doesn't need the big character right now. This needs Mercedes putting over Willow. And saying how much she likes Willow in terms
except
of
she doesn't school. Like Willow.
Well, no, not the character. Not the character CEO. I'm saying Mercedes likes Willow.
Oh, okay.
That needs to come across on screen, and it needs to be put over heart. And instead, we're doing the goofy character. We're doing the goofy character.
I don't think that's the story they're telling. I think
I don't want it to be the story. I want it to be Mercedes, the person, likes Willow, the person. That is what I'm going for here, because
that's true.
I think it's true. There's no way in hell we're going back to that if she doesn't match that she did in Long Beach.
No, but yeah, now you're talking about like just completely dropping the CEO character.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about dropping it for a week. I'm talking about.
Then just don't even do it. just don't even do the segment thing.
I'm fine with that, but if, yeah. but I'm saying if you're going to do it, we need to cut out the theatrics, and we need to make this bare bones, and we need to make Willow the star here. And that would be fine too, because the obvious thinking was we're going to put Willow and Mercedes in a segment together, and Mercedes going to give her the rub here a little bit, you know, that kind of a thing.
But the funny thing is I don't think they realized how over Willow was going to be.
I don't either. And I would have called an audible, or at least I would have said, Mercedes, go run in front of that big TV and we're just going to have you watching the promo.
And just because this is Massachusetts, I mean, clearly these fans thought Willow was their hometown girl. And not to say they rejected Mercedes. They reacted to Mercedes because she's a star.
They plugged Willow as the hometown girl here, though.
Yeah,
that's the weird thing. It's like, why would you bring out somebody to steal her heat?
Well, they did. It was something else. And I didn't know Willow had that in her.
You carrots, Julianne yourselves here, and jump in this water here, and then we'll turn you into
a girl. I'm going to be really, really upset when Julia loses the title to Willow, and then Willow drops it right away to Mercedes. I am going to not be happy with that.
Well, Mercedes isn't going to win clean over Willow.
True.
That's going to be the heel turn. And now we're finally going to get her in her natural state of being a
Stokely's probably going to churn on her.
That's what I'm thinking too, because Stokely talked about hey, I'm going to be serious here for a minute. I think Stokely and Mercedes are going to be a crew.
Could be. And maybe Statlander too.
Possibly.
All right. Next we got the Jacksons and the Best Friends. They had actually a pretty good match. I thought this was the best Young Bucks match that they've had, other than the Sting match at the pay-per-view, obviously, but best TV match they've had for sure. This was they were a little more trying to win a match as opposed to just making a joke out of everything. They were wrestling in their goofy suits. The Best Friends, so it was Orange Cassidy and Trent, and they came out with Chuck Taylor and Sue. Sue sat at ringside. At one point, Matt had done super kicks to everybody, and then he was about to do one to Sue, and then he stopped, and he went to give her a fist bump, and instead she slapped him. And
am I terrible that I kind of wanted Sue to take the kick?
No. Everyone knows I hate
that Sue. Heat would have been enormous, dude. Yeah. I mean,
he wouldn't have come anywhere near her.
No, it would have been the safest spot ever, and I was here for it. I was waiting for it. I was like, I know, because Sue can't throw a slap.
No, that slap was terrible.
But the match itself was the match was fun, and I thought for a moment that maybe it did the one thing I didn't think it could do. I thought maybe the Best Friends pull an upset here.
They set this up really, really well, because they did that spot, and then that led right into the spot where are we here? Sorry, I lost my spot here in my notes. Well, that led right into. They went into the ring. Orange Cassidy hit Matt with an orange punch, trying to hit him with knee strikes. Then Orange Cassidy took out Nick. They hit the Storm Zero, but then Nick broke it up. And then Trent went to get a kiss from his mom. And then he went for a pile driver, but Matt catapulted him into the exposed turnbuckle, which earlier in the match, he'd taken the turnbuckle pad off. So he knew that was coming at some point. And then he pinned him, and he held the tights to pin him for good measure. So they set it up really well. They had a couple great false finishes, and then the Jacksons pulled it out at the end. And the only thing I will say is, like, I don't think they really did anything in this match to set up what they did after the match. But they did. I mean, I'm not going to say they didn't build up this heel turn for Trent, because they've been hinting at it for like months. And you may have missed it, but I mean, there's been subtle things.
There's been subtle things, and I kind of like that.
Yeah, it's just that this particular match, I mean, I don't know why, they were all buddies here. Like, they could have done one or two things in the match where there was miscommunication or something to where Trent would. But maybe Trent's going to say, like, I tagged with you because I thought we had a really good chance of winning these titles. But as soon as we were out, like, that was it. I had made up my mind before this tournament even started that I was done with you.
No, I you know what I would have done? I would have had him after that pin get enraged. Okay. About getting pinned, not necessarily at Orange, but getting pinned. And he just decides, they calm him down. Hey, let's do the hug. And then he just says, no, I'm not going to do that. And then
the spot they did with the hug. I mean, this is probably something they had in their mind for years.
This was fun. I liked this spot.
To do the Best Friends hug. And instead of hugging, Trent just jumps at him and gives him like the, what do they call it? Like the missile drop kick or whatever. just out of nowhere. Like you did, you kind of saw it coming.
I thought it was a Bumaye knee, but maybe I'm wrong on that one.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Yeah. So it's like literally they thought they were coming in to hug, and then Orange gets laid out. And Chuck is just got this bewildered look on his face. He doesn't react, which it's funny because in one hand, he's not acting at all, except he's acting perfectly because he shouldn't be kind of, you don't know which side he's on. Like
he's not overselling the confusion, which I kind of liked.
Yeah. Now Sue, on the other hand,
Sue's not selling a damn thing.
No, she was like, what did you do? Why did you do this?
Oh yeah. After that. Yeah. That's what I meant. Nobody buries Trent more than I do in any podcast I ever listened to. Cause he's, it's not that I don't like him. It's just that he is vanilla. He now has sprinkles on him a little bit. I'm still holding against him. That time they go, we're going to give you a promo, and he did nothing with it. And it just angered me to no end. I hope he's coming with some fire.
I hope he has a good explanation for this.
But this you know what this feels like? This feels like Chucky's going to turn to just to kind of do it.
Possibly. Yeah.
And it's I would much rather put make Trent like an honorary member of the elite.
Yeah.
My good buddy Okada over there, who we used to be in Chaos together. Hey,
he could go with the Callis family.
He could. I mean, I want something different from other than he's heel Trent and he's doing kind of the same crap. You know, I don't want that. I want this to be the start of something interesting for him.
I hope he wins the international title and then, feuds with Orange over it. You know, maybe they could do a match at Wembley or something.
If we get somebody to take it off of Roddy, sure.
That'd be him.
You're going to have Roddy face the newly healed
Trent. Yeah, why not? Maybe do a triple threat. Maybe do a triple threat.
All right, I can buy that then.
Yeah. This was good, though. I liked the heel turn.
I did. I thought this was well done.
Yeah, this is a good segment. Next, we got Mariah May versus Thunder Rosa, which in terms of in-ring was the main event. This was number one contenders match. Mariah May, I gotta say, I'm very upset at people in the Discord because how long have I been putting over Toni Storm's stripper music, like forever, and how much I loved it. And then when she started doing this goofy new character, she stopped using it. And then now Mariah May is doing cosplaying original Toni Storm and she's brought the music back. And I love this music. And now everyone's saying how much they love this music. I was on the Toni Storm music train for years. So
that's I liked that it was a heart ripoff.
Yeah, I know. Well, I say it's stripper music. And somebody said, well, have you not been in the strip club since like 1977? It's like, no. I mean, I was six in 1977. But
I think you chose stripper music incorrectly because this is more of the she's an 80s. Her mom was an 80s.
No, I'm telling you because when I in the mid 90s, when I would frequent those places, and I'm not talking Vegas strip clubs. I'm talking the dive bar.
You're talking the dingy.
Yes. And they heart
was low all rent over those strippers things. With track yes. marks and
yes, and Led Zeppelin and Motley Crue and like girls, the heart music Barracuda would be played at the strip club. Trust me. So I understand these people that, these generation nexters or whatever the hell they are.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just millennials. I'm just wired.
Regardless, the music is great.
Yeah, the music is great. I never wanted to go to a strip club.
Me neither.
I wanted to pay women to pretend to like me, I'd date more.
Yeah. Well, no, that's, I mean, like I said, it's, I'm not like I didn't go to them a lot. It was more like I'm probably even talking about movies that I watched where they went into strip clubs and stuff. So regardless, the music's great. And I'm glad she's using it.
You know what? You should do a new podcast about your strip club adventures in Canada.
Crowd is dead. Though for most of the match, the match was totally about Toni Storm. There was some exchange going on with Taz, and Toni Storm said to Tony Schiavone right at the start of the match, "I'm sorry you lost your dog, but luckily we get to watch Thunder Rosa."
She had a couple of grunts. The line that got me was, Mariah May, she reminds me of a younger me. You know, Thunder Rosa reminds me of an older Thunder Rosa.
Yeah.
I howled at that line.
She said something about she's from the graveyards of Tijuana, and
that explains her pale complexion.
Yeah. So every once in a while they'd cut back over. At one point she says, "I hope you don't have the under desk camera activated." Because that was a bad choice.
No, that was a horrible choice. And I know that the Hays Code stuff is there, but it's just I am more shocked than anything as the weeks go on is how ice cold Thunder Rosa is. And because when she left for the injury, she was a fairly hot female, especially in the Brit feud.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's
Jamie
just
Hayter too, right?
And Hayter, yeah.
Yeah.
And she's still fairly impressive and she's still doing good stuff in the ring to me. And I think this AEW crowd has just moved on.
Well, yeah, and I think like they're into Toni Storm.
Yeah.
And then now you got Mercedes. So everything in that universe is kind of okay, that's about all
we need.
But she's
the kind of person you bring back into the division, you think it gets the division hot again, and it's just she has gotten nowhere in there. Oh god, no. Taxi cab confession with Paul Fontaine.
No.
For the audio listeners.
I don't know.
It flummoxes me a bit because I really like Thunder Rosa and it feels like she's just someone who's going to be there and never get over again.
The match was fine. You know, it was kind of hard hitting at times. They botched a few spots. May hit a knee strike. They kept cutting to Toni, who would just nod her approval. Mariah went for Mayday, but Rosa reversed it and got a two. Then May hit her with a headbutt. They're both down. She picked up Rosa, went for Mayday again, and then Rosa reversed that into a backstabber. And then she hit a Tijuana bomb and got the win.
Yeah.
So Mariah May had been undefeated up until now, and it's just done. No shenanigans. I mean, it's a babyface that beat her, so it wasn't going to be cheating or anything, but it's a pretty clean win, pretty decisive win.
Yeah, they kind of, it was weird because the way they set this up on Collision was that it was Mariah May planned this.
Yeah.
So that she could then lay down for Toni. And it's like, and there's no real mention of that from Toni Storm pulling that over. There's no follow up to that at all.
No.
It's another one of those things we think are going to be an angle, and then they just decide to drop it on week two.
Cause that may have been, someone coming in. Someone asked me, I won't say who, why was this the main event? And then my first thing was, it was a number one contenders match. So I guess the only other one, I mean, if you wanted to have the best match, you would have put Will Ospreay in the main event. You could have had the Young Bucks because it's part of the tag team tournament. You know that's going to be a great match. This was a number one contenders match for the women's title. So theoretically, it's the most important match. But
all those are incorrect answers, but continue.
Well, I think I may have the same answer as you.
Okay, go ahead.
I feel like either Mercedes and or her writer may have a thing saying we're going to have an X amount of women's matches as the main event, and this is one of them.
No, that's not the answer. The answer is because they had to do an overrun, and it just happened to be the last thing on there before the contract signing.
Okay,
because everything else went long for some reason.
Okay, all right. Well, went long was that freaking Billy Gunn match.
Yeah, the contract signing was the main event of the show.
Okay, so this was... But I will say, I think that this main event segment, and it probably included the women's match, is going to do better in the ratings than most weeks.
I think so, too.
Well, no, the reason is because the way they did the commercials, there was no commercials from about 15 minutes before the end of the show until the end of the overrun. So
I'm
when that
fine
happened,
with that. This show felt like it flew by, to be honest with you, for me.
Yeah, no, it did, other than the Billy Gunn match. And again, that may have been by design. You know, you got that out of the way. You did that long commercial break during that match so that you wouldn't have a commercial break in the main event. And that's smart because then you had the most people see the match that was setting up your world title match for the pay-per-view. So that's great. Rosa got in Tony's face after the match. She said she wanted the match right now. And Toni just sat there. And then Excalibur announced that it's happening at Dynasty. So that's that. We got a short little promo from Penta and Alex Abrahantes, and he challenged Copeland for a title shot. Did you get a small Spidey sense that maybe it's going to be someone else under the Penta mask? I don't think it will be, but I don't know. For some reason, that crossed my mind.
That's certainly an idea that could happen.
Yeah. I thought actually Christian. I don't know, but hopefully not. Hopefully we don't see Christian for a little while. All right, Dynamite, Copeland and Penta. So that match is happening on Dynamite. Collision in a tune-up match. Penta is going to face Commander, and Excalibur wonders maybe Commander's going to play spoiler. Probably not. Next up is the main event contract signing. So we got a table in the ring. Samoa Joe sadly was not in a suit. He was wearing t-shirt and jeans. So sad. I really like Joe when he's not wrestling, coming out in a suit. And Swerve is in his big fur jacket with the chain. And so Joe tells Shivani to shut up right at the start of this. He says, obviously, these people like you a lot. I should point out they were chanting whose house, Swerve's house for like 3 minutes. So I thought I'd give you some advice before you sign this contract. You're working with some bad information. I've watched your whole career. This was funny because he goes from your career defining feud. And I figured he was going to bring up Killshot with Adam Page and your meteoric rise to not one, but two championship opportunities. So he's watched the last 4 months of Swerve's
career. Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. He says, how else could this end, but with a big victory and everyone celebrating a new champion, but see Swerve, that's the bad information you've been working with. The truth is signing this contract, Swerve, is doom and destruction. A career-defining mistake to get in the ring with me right now. I'm going to beat you down so severely that you're mentally scarred like you left Diddy's party too late. Ooh. He said, so, my brother, now that you have the right information, why don't you do the right thing? And crowd's chanting, Swerve's house, Swerve's house. So Swerve says, before I sign this contract, Joe, I just want you to know I've wanted this moment my whole life. I've dreamt about this moment because I didn't believe it was actually possible. At this point, the fans start chanting, Joe is going to kill you. Understand, my destination is filled with a long, winding road of roadblocks. When I arrive, that feeling is sweet. My journey took me to main eventing Dynasty, and we're building a dynasty. Signings like Okada, Monet, Ospreay. Truth be told, and he pauses for a second, and the fans start chanting MJF. And both Joe and Swerve, like, we're not expecting this. But he goes on and he says, Joe, I understand this championship is bigger than both of us. I understand the dangers of facing you for it. And at this point, I notice this crowd is just not into this at all.
And, yeah, neither was I, but continue.
He says, everything about your title reign has been dangerous. You're the definition of a killer, but so am I. And on April 21st, I show you that I'm every bit of the man. I got the keys to the dynasty, and I turn AEW into whose house? Swerve's house. Now run the fade on that, bitch. And Swerve, the valiant babyface, attacks Joe and tries to choke him out with his chain. Joe no-sells the choke, headbutts him, and steals his chain and punched him in the face. So Swerve goes down. The camera films him the whole way. Might as well have done a close-up shot of Nana handing Swerve a blade. Swerve cut himself. Luckily, he didn't film that. And then he's bleeding like crazy. And then Joe grabs a chain. He's just beating him down with the chain. And then he finally, the refs break him up, and he starts walking up the ramp. And Swerve, recovers a bit. He's still down, but he's got a mic. And he starts laughing. He's covered in blood, blood streaming down his face. He said, hey, Joe, I love this shit. And if you think that's all if you think that's all you got, then I'm taking your championship from you. And they cut to Joe, and he looks all shocked. And he grabs a pen and he rubs it in his forehead. What the idea was, he was going to put blood on the pen so he could sign. But he starts signing, and all you see blood. Is blue ink. No, all you that see is too. Blue ink. So then he grabs more blood, and he just drops it all over the page. And then the announcers say he's signing it in his own blood. Not exactly, but, they tried. And he says, yeah, and that was it. And then the fans are chanting, you sick fuck. And then Joe rushed to the ring, and he attacked him again, gave him a new uranage through the table. Fans chanted, holy shit, and Joe posed over him with the belt. So he totally made Swerve look like a geek, but the fans were like more into Swerve at the end of this than they were at the beginning. So in some ways, I guess it was a success.
I did not like this promo at all.
Because the Swerve part or all of it?
Both parts, because okay. Neither part rang true.
Okay.
Yeah, there was no personal connection in this back and forth. It was a WWE exposition-y promo. At the match, whatever. I want to know why these two don't like each other. And the whole thing with Swerve is he's telling this story of challenges and tribulations and blah 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 blah. And we've not seen any of that. On TV.
I think that's what the fans don't want to hear.
I do too. And then the punchline is, because he's bleeding, we're now going to harken back to the Hangman Page swerve. When we should have been having the Hangman Page swerve this entire time, where it's like, look, I'm twisted. I'm willing to take a beating. I'm willing to drink my own blood. I'm ready to bleed to take you out. And then that being creepy enough to spook Joe. But this was just, this was the Black Knight from Monty Python type of a thing, where it's like, I got beat up and I'll continue coming back for you. The Joe part. The Joe part was bad too, where it's like, all I want to hear about is how Joe likes being champ, and that I'm going to, and then, you know, I'm going to beat you because I've beat you before, Swerve. I beat you in the three way. It's the easiest thing to do. And it's like, look, I get that. Okay. I'm going to sign the contract in my own blood, but we've just kind of been doing weird attacks with each other type of a thing. It doesn't feel like a hateful feud per se to me. It's just one of those weird things where it's like, we wanted to do this thing. Just, it was an idea and they never got there to me.
You know what it reminded me of was Joe Gacy and Dijak from
a bit,
NXT, you know, like where he just keeps beating on him. He just keeps coming back. And the idea is we're supposed to be freaked out, or like Seth Rollins and Bray Wyatt. You know, like the idea that you got this guy that just can't be killed, and you've got another guy that just seems to thrive on getting beat up. And that's an interesting story.
It is, but they didn't tell it.
Well, and that also doesn't fit Swerve's character. And
it did until they decided he needed to be the babyface in a feud.
Well, yeah, but I'm also just saying, like, the whole idea of this mogul, you know, with the fur coats and the chains. And
all that he needed to be was the baddest dog with the biggest bark, and that's all he had to
I
be
would have liked to have seen him get something on Joe here. But I also think that part of this is the WWE influence of, okay, he's winning the belt at the pay-per-view, so we're gonna get all the heat on him.
Yes, no, you know, exactly.
Yeah, and you don't have to do that. You could have had Swerve, like I said, Jason had the point, and the segment with Swerve signing the contract in blood, and it kind of works. You could have even had Swerve attack Joe on his way up the ramp.
The money is in the tension of the fight. It's not in, you know, the table spot or whatever. It's like, I want to believe that these two guys at the end of the day want to kill each other, and that they will be driven to doing very violent things to each other to try and win this title. It has nothing to do with spots, you know, Uranagi through the table and him going, oh, ho, ho, look at me. I saw my own blood, and I love this stuff. You know, that was a character they could have built, but they never did. They built the underdog story with Swerve, where he's traveling up and down. And he's been in this business for so many years. And then all of a sudden they decide they're going to flip the switch, and he's back to the Nick Wayne house invasion Swerve. And it's like, no, you know, pick one of those.
The story that they're actually kind of telling, if you really listen to the promos, is Swerve's story is 6 months ago, before the Hangman feud, they decided that they're going to elevate me and make me the first Black World Champion.
Yes.
And Joe's story is, well, I was the guy that was picked to beat MJF, and I'm just going to be a transitional champion to hand the belt off to you. But fuck you, I'm beating you.
It's an office politics promo where it's like, we're building that. We've signed Okada. Yeah. Why in the hell does that have to do with anything having to do this match?
We signed all these wonderful guys that are the best in the world, except like we're fighting for this world title.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, it was my problem. It was about the company when it should have been about them, and it wasn't really about them. It was about two guys pretending to be in a title fight, and
because they don't really, you're right. They don't really have that personal. Like, this would work better if it was Hangman and Swerve for the title.
Because
those two have a personal thing.
Yes.
Hangman and Joe even have a personal
thing. That three-way ruined this match because what it was Swerve just saying, no, I don't accept that loss.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well. And I do think we're leading to the return of MJF at some point, and probably soon, because he started tweeting again this week.
With the ending being in the beginning, I'm going to go back to this. What is the plan to keep Swerve strong as a champion until we get to Wembley, where presumably we're taking the title off of him to get to Will Ospreay? Because if they don't have that in stone right now, if they're just going to let Swerve say Swerve's house and let Nana dance a bit, it's just going to be another boring feud.
He's going to beat MJF at Double or Nothing, and then at Forbidden Door, he's going to beat some random Japan guy.
Yes.
And then that's going to lead to Will Ospreay beating him for the title at Wembley.
Okay.
Unless he's suddenly hot and they decide to pivot and say, you know what?
Let's make it a three-way. Well, let's put somebody put Jericho in there.
No, we'll wait a year for Ospreay. We'll give him a big win, but he won't be going for the title until next year. It's not like we have to build Ospreay right now.
No, we don't.
Know? Like, they could wait a year.
We could build Swerve up as something special here, but it just doesn't feel like we're still trying to be confused on as to whether or not he's a babyface or a heel.
I think we still have Nana with him. I think he's better as a heel, to be honest with you.
But. I do too. He was sinister as a heel. The whole sinister thing came out great as this, and it's the MJF problem. Oh, people are cheering him now. They want to say Swerve's house, so now we need to turn him babyface. When we really haven't gotten to the peak heel version of this character just yet.
Yeah, we got close. We got close, but. So yeah, that was that.
I mean, it's AR Fox's fault.
If you like good matches and you fell asleep during the Billy Gunn match, and this was a great show. I don't know. The main event wasn't great.
I thought the show was good. I just found some of the tone confusing.
Yeah, that's fair.
First segment totally threw me off for a loop. And then the Billy Gunn match with Jay White, you're just watching going, what?
Yeah. Yeah, and that was a good portion of the show.
And then you watch Mercedes come out and blow Willow's heat, and you go, what?
What? Yeah. But other than that, I mean, you know, some good stuff on the show. And the Edge promo, too. You're like, what?
Yes.
Three WWE people, imagine that. Mm-hmm. Someone pointed out, and I'll put him over, John Muse, and it's so obvious, but he said it, so I didn't think of it. You got a WWE writer comes in and is writing for a WWE character, and you get a WWE segment. You shouldn't be shocked.
No.
And
but that's the risk you take. Somebody who's been in the system for that long, are they a system person, or are they somebody who can think outside the box? And I warned about this when she was hired on, in my other territory. I think I might have said that, but and that's the whole thing is, you know, it's the whole, man, you have creative freedom to do whatever you want in this company. And that becomes a paralysis of analysis type of a thing. It's like, well, what am I going to do? I know how to do WWE stuff. I haven't been doing this, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm not ingrained in old wrestling territory stuff. And I know the Monday Night Wars, and I know that the NWO and Rock and Austin and stuff like that. It's like, you know, you have a whole history of wrestling to pull from, but you know, if you've been in the system for a while, it's what you know and what you think is successful.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that'll just about do it. Jeff, tell us about this weekend, big weekend coming up.
Oh my goodness. Possibly the biggest week in professional wrestling. And boy, did it get to a hot start when Vince McMahon leaked a letter. And then CM Punk went on Ariel Helwani, and then we still have Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey sniping at one another. We have Cody Rhodes trying to be the best politician ever.
Drew Gulak trying to cop a feel.
Drew Gulak has been accused of some terrible stuff.
Yeah.
And we're also going to talk about Stand and Deliver and WrestleMania.
Did you see the ticket sales for Stand and Deliver?
No, I have not. Did they sell
out? Take a guess. How many tickets you think they sold?
Out of how many?
They're running like, you know, the hockey arena. So
they're running at the Wells Fargo Center, aren't they?
Yeah. So take a guess.
I'm gonna say 8,000.
That's about what I would have guessed, and I would have thought that'd have been really good. They got over 13,000 tickets sold for that.
Trick Williams, people want to see.
Yep. Yeah. I was shocked when I saw that, and then people are like, 2,500 for the ROH show, and hey, great.
Good for ROH. Good for NXT, man. The last show I saw there was, well, I mean, that was Gargano versus Andrade, which was just a banger of a show. I love that. We're gonna talk, myself and Chris Novembre, we're gonna talk all about all of this on Shake Them Ropes. Hopefully recording tomorrow, so it's in time for a weekend preview. So you will get all our previews, all our choices. Will Cody finish the story? We'll see what happens on Jimmy Fallon, but I don't know if that'll be before we post. But that'll drop within your Voices of Wrestling feed or in our own feed. You can also follow me at Crap Game 13 on Elon Musk's X, arcane references, opinions that people don't like, etc.
Other than the WrestleManias and NXT, what else are you planning to watch this weekend?
Probably nothing.
Really? Okay.
I'll watch Hall of Fame, I think.
Oh, yeah, I'll watch that.
And I mean, look, but the indie shows aren't my thing anymore for the most part. Bloodsport is tempting.
I'm planning on watching Bloodsport. I'm good
to
watch
the For the Culture show is kind of tempting me because I love both D'Lo Brown and Too Cold Scorpio, who's on the show.
I'm gonna watch Ring of Honor for sure, and then some of the GCW shows look interesting. There's a Stardom show on Triller too, which I've
never
seen.
That's true too, and it's one of those things where it's like, look, if I were there and I could watch it 2 p.m. on Friday, great. But you know, I'm working, and so I may not be able to get to it. And then this weekend is just so chock full of WWE dominating things that.
Oh yeah, and regular stuff too. Like I like to watch Blue Jays and they're playing and everything. But yeah, it's big weekend.
Oh, and the Final Four is on, and my mom's alma mater is in it, so I'm gonna watch that too.
Park. Yeah, she's a killer. All right, for me, I started a new show this week. It aired Monday night, and it's on this very YouTube channel. I had Kevin Ely as my first guest, and my second guest coming up this coming Monday at the same time, 10 p.m. So right after the Raw after Mania, you can tune in and watch us. It'll be Jeremy Finestone, and he's going to talk about stuff that made him happy in his wrestling fandom. So, and we maybe some WrestleMania stuff in there. So. Check that out. I was really happy with the first episode, and I'm hoping got a lot of people that want to come on. Hopefully I'll get Jeff on at some point.
Yes.
And it's pretty cool idea, I thought, and in concept it's working pretty well too. So check that out. So for Jeff Hawkins, I'm Paul Fontaine, and this has been the Dynamite Show.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.